Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Zone Time, everybody. If you thought we were going to be on, we were already on summer vacation.
Think again.
Nope.
We thought we were on summer vacation.
We definitely did. And then a bunch of stuff happened in the last week. You all, if you're listening, you hear the voices of Avery, Sam, Omar is here as well. I'm Julian. If you're watching, thank you for watching on YouTube, of course. We have to get through everything going on with the Calgary Flames because they have lost a lot in terms of some two big players in Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. And later on, we are going to have an in-depth conversation about Hockey Canada. That's a topic that we have to get into and we have to discuss. But we'll start with Calgary first, because this is a team that we thought partway through the season, they were going to look really good, maybe even beat the Edmonton Oilers in a playoff series. That didn't happen. Not in the slightest. Nope. And now Johnny Gaudreau is in Columbus? And Matthew Tkachuk is in Florida. Ah, sucks to be a Calgary Flames fan. Omar, do you remember that time when we all thought Calgary was going to beat Edmonton in a playoff series and they were built for the playoffs? And Avery's looking at me weird as if he never believed that.
Well, I mean, like, it's on one hand, like, yeah, we had the conversation on Zone Time. I thought they were going to win that series. So I thought they were going to go at least to the Western Conference final. I even remember before the playoffs started, when the conversation was like, what Canadian team has the best shot at making the final? I think a lot of, if not every person said Calgary. So, like, watching Jacob Markstrom ruin the team, I said it. Watching Jacob Markstrom ruin the team. And now to see all the domino effects, it's like, holy frick, like, how did we get here? So, like, yeah, like, it's wild that you go from Calgary thinking they're going to have a lot of success to a point where they're kind of, like, in limbo with a bunch of question marks. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Avery, you disagreed when I said that most of us said that Calgary's going to win that series. You gave me a stank face like the great West Indian you are.
Yes, I love that.
Yo, can we talk about his outfit?
I'm wearing a white blazer right now.
He's wearing a sun hat. He's wearing like a all white blazer. Like I said off air, he's going to the all white Jamaican day party.
Yeah,
after
boy,
you done this?
Absolutely.
You definitely look like a West Indian uncle right now.
I know. I just need the towel over my shoulder. I'm good to go.
Yeah, Dr. Well, you know what? At this party too.
You're talking about the Flames, and yeah, that's y'all. Y'all picked the Flames. That was not Avery Manor. I had Edmonton in 7 from the jump. So you know what? We stayed cool, calm, and collected with this fan here, you know?
Yo!
Edmonton going all the way.
Yo,
but no, I said before Edmonton was going to find a way to outscore their problems.
Oh my God.
Did. I mean, they could have won game one. Remember, game one, Calgary was up 5-1, and it ended up being halfway through 6-6.
I got lightheaded laughing that hard.
Oh, my God. That is up there in the pantheon of props from Avery. The fan, the hand, that was amazing. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got that wrong. Sam, one topic that I know you've been really into discussing is the fact that Johnny Gaudreau leaving. Seems like there's a few people out there who feel that he owes the city of Calgary for leaving. What do you think about that? Can you let everyone know how you feel about that?
I think you need help.
That's for those people, not me. Yeah,
To be clear, I don't think Julian needs help. I think that, look, I get being salty. Like, I boo Ryan Kesler when he comes when he used to come back, he's on LTIR. Sure. Yeah, he's definitely not retired.
Did you boo his show too?
I enjoyed the show.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed the show, but I think Kevin Bieksa carried it.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Anyway, I didn't mean to take a shot.
I enjoyed the show begrudgingly. I did enjoy booing him when he came back, mostly because I thought it was funny. But like, listen, if you want to be salty about someone leaving and like boo them tongue in cheek when they come back, yeah, I totally get it. But if you're out there being like, Johnny Gaudreau stabbed this team in the back, he betrayed the city of Calgary, seek help. Like, I'm sorry. I saw people be like, he needed to give them notice. He was on a contract with a end date. And so when you know what the end date is, you don't have to give anyone notice because that's how the contract ends. Like, pretty sure the Flames knew from day one when that contract expired. Pretty sure they had exclusive rights to negotiate with him. And, you know, if you don't have a backup plan as a general manager and your player hasn't signed and hasn't been like, hey, this is the deal we're going to sign, let's do it. Like, that's on the general manager. And I'm not criticizing Brad Tree Living. I feel like he's actually done a decent job getting Huberdeau and Uyghur back. Like, it's not as dire as it was when Gaudreau left. But people who are like, he should have told them all along that he didn't intend to come back. Yeah, I'm sure all of you who are saying this now would have behaved totally, totally reasonably if he had said halfway through the season, by the way, I hate it here. Peace out. I'm not coming back.
Honestly, like, it's just, there are things that you say as a professional sports person that you have to say, right? Especially because the whole thing is like, you know, you don't want distractions around the game and stuff. Like, imagine if for like 3 years, all we're talking about is like, oh, when he's going to, what's the next deal? What's the next deal? What is he going to sign? What is he going to sign? Like, you're trying to win, like, go deep in the playoffs, go far into the playoffs. And again, for this year, like, it seemed like that way. Like, they all had incredible seasons. Gaudreau had an incredible season. Like, there was a time where, like, people were saying he should be nominated for the Hart, right? Yep. And it's just like, and again, I know it's easy to say from a distance because it's not my team, but like, at the end of the day, man, players will go wherever they want to go and players will say what they need to say. Like, Sammy brought up Huberdeau and Uyghur. They said, you know what? They'd be open to resigning. Duh. What else are they going to say? No, I'm only going to be here for a year, then I'm gone. Screw the city. Like, of course, like, there's certain things that they want to, you know, to communicate with the public, and things they feel that they need to, and other things they feel that they don't need to. And I think that's why the Johnny Gaudreau, like, Player Tribune article was very opening to seeing, like, all the things that kind of was part of the decision. Like, a lot of people got hung up on the, he wants to go home. And I saw people like tweeting like maps of like, you know, New Jersey and Columbus. And this is like, but when you read the Players Tribune article and see like all the things that were taking place, like off the ice, it makes sense, man. You know what? Like, whatever, let him do whatever he needs to do. He doesn't owe anyone an apology. It's his career. Let him do whatever he needs to do.
I want to take it a step further because people are like, oh, he when he knew that he wasn't going to come back, he should have told them.
Okay. Sorry, after the deadline.
But you sign a contract as a player. Hmm. You get drafted when you're 18, 19. Mm-hmm. You have no rights about where you go for the next 7 years, unless you have no say over that. Even if you know 5 years in, you're not going back. I would never, ever, ever tell the team I'm not coming back because you have earned the right to pit teams against each other. Like, he could have gone to another team and been like, Calgary's offering me XYZ. Like, what are you going to give me?
What are y'all giving me?
Why would you ever take away your own leverage like that? Like, anyone who expects him to do that out of some misguided loyalty to the city of Calgary, like, get some help.
It's ridiculous. And people talk about, you know, oh, he owed the city, he owed this. He gave them right there 8 seasons, 100 point years. How much more does he owe the city? How much more do you want from the man? Like, he isn't a robot. He's a thing you control. As mentioned earlier, Omar, it's his career, it's his life. He gave them 8 years. And you want him to give back more? Like, shut up. It's not your life. Get out of the man's life.
You don't want a player who doesn't want to play there anyway. Like, look at the Canucks and Mark Messier.
Thank you. Any
consummate leader, consummate professional, Mark Messier, by the way.
Yeah.
Anytime that happens, Sam looks so pissed.
He's going to walk off the set.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a pro. I met him before. Good man, Mark Messier.
Oh, it's so annoying, man.
Hey, Mark Messier has some pretty great Lay's commercials back in the day. He's got that cool Subway one now.
Oh, yeah, where he has to, like, lift something. And it's just like, yeah. Yes, we get it.
You that know. Is great leadership on the part of Mark Messier. All right, I've done enough leadership jokes. Omar, finish your point.
Oh, my gosh. What was I gonna say? No, like, it's like, it's so hypocritical because it's like, fans will always say, like, oh, we only want people who want to be here. Okay, so, like, what if you knew that he didn't want to be here, like, 5 years ago? Oh, then trade him. Yeah, because it's that easy. Like it's so okay, the trade him, get him out of here. Like, yeah, but like you need to like facilitate. You can't just say trade me or I want to be traded and it happens. If that was the case, Pierre-Luc Dubois would be on seven teams by now. Ooh. But anyway, so it's just like there are certain things I wanted to take a shot at Pierre-Luc Dubois because I saw earlier he had a video saying like I didn't request a trade. Like, okay, Pierre. Okay, man, whatever. But yeah, it's just like
at the end of the day,
man, just leave the man alone. Like he's starting a new chapter, whatever. And again, to Sam's point, you're not starting from square one. You have Huberto and Uyghur, and now the goal is, okay, what can you do with this season, hopefully in the playoffs, to make sure something like this doesn't happen again, or you set yourself up for the future?
That's why I put out that tweet, by the way, the other day about, man, shout out Pro Sports for getting everyday people to side with billionaires as opposed to millionaires who dictate their future, because for whatever reason, whenever we see this is not just a hockey problem. Whenever we see an athlete as a free agent with the possibility of staying with his team, but he says, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. We all just lose our minds and forget about the fact that if we were in the same position, we might do the same thing as those players. And on top of that, show loyalty to a team that if they have the chance would flip out that contract like it's nobody's business. We've seen people this offseason. Max Pacioretty got flipped for nothing.
Literally nothing.
They were just like, yo, we don't want your contract anymore, dog. Like, you're done. Get out of here for future considerations for nothing. What?
Bjork Strand got traded days after his wedding, man. There's no such thing as loyalty. This is a professional sport.
Jonathan Huberto, like, learned that he was getting traded, what, like, minutes before everyone else did?
Come on.
Or just around that time? Yeah, he thought he was getting an extension in Florida. And like, nope, we dealing you away. Like, what?
Right? You know the best too as well? During a lockout, people say, oh, those greedy players. What? What do you mean those greedy players in a lockout? I don't get people in a lockout who side with the owners. Like, you gonna side on that side of the workers?
Come on. Come on. You out here signing with Aquilini? You out here signing with both? Look, the owners, they do what they need to do. I'm just mentioning the owner's name. I have no smoke with the Aquilini family. Please don't send them after me. My whole point is, these people make billions of dollars. Completely different tax bracket to you, and if you're going to direct your furor and anger to someone who makes much less, who is essentially cattle in comparison to those people, I think you have to really think about the economics of sports. I really like, on top of getting help, you know, go read like a book on, I don't know if there's a good book on economics of sports you could just read. I'm sure there is, but like, do that. You know, like, educate yourself. Understand that. I don't know. That's my feeling on it. Omar, are you reconciling with the fact that because all of this is happening with guys like Johnny Gaudreau wanting to go home and Matthew Tkachuk getting out of Calgary, that it probably means Austin Matthews wants to go home too? I'm just kidding. It's going to happen.
It's a completely, like, okay. These are moments where I understand.
All right, everyone, give Omar his 3 minutes.
Yeah, literally.
Pull out your food, get everything you need to do to enjoy Omar going off.
These are the moments where I understand, if you're a non-Leafs fan, I understand how annoying it can be. Because the second the Tkachuk thing happened, it immediately turned into, oh, is Austin Matthews next? And I get it. I understand it. He's the best player on like one of the most profitable teams in the league. I get it. I understand it. Completely different situations. Completely different. Now, if it ends up being that way, you know, if they don't make the playoffs next year or if it's another first round exit, I understand it. I get it. But completely different situations. And like, I know I saw a lot of people like tweeting at me or tweeting about it in general saying like, oh, well, no American player has ever spent their entire career in Canada. Okay. Maybe this could be it. Completely different. He loves the city. He loves it. He has an opportunity to be the greatest Leaf of all time. Like, of all time. Like, the numbers he's been putting up. Yes, there isn't playoff success yet, hopefully. But, like, just give them an opportunity, man. Give them a chance. So just because Goudreau and Tkachuk did something doesn't mean that every American star in Canada is automatically going to leave. Because you know what? Let's flip it. Let's flip it. Every Canadian player in the States is going to move up. No Canadian players in the States. That's it.
Yeah. John Tavares. Tavares. You got the bed sheets.
Exactly.
That's it.
Like, listen how ridiculous Toronto, that sounds.
And everyone
listen,
will love him. And listen not to how
ridiculous.
Contract.
That sounds so ridiculous. Every Canadian player in the States is going to move up to Canada. No, man. It's different things. Circumstances, stage of life, opportunity, whatever. So just because Tkachuk and Gaudreau went to the States doesn't automatically mean Matthews is going to. And to be honest, I really don't think he's going to. But things might change. Who knows? And if he does end up leaving, then it will not be because, oh, well, Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk did it, so I'm going to do the same thing. No. However, let's not put that into the universe. Let's not put that into the minutia. Let's hold on to the small little nugget of positivity that I still have towards this team. And I'm going to imagine that.
We don't have to do a damn thing. That's just you.
The minutia. All right, Kyrie Omar.
Whoa.
Omar Irving over here now.
Kind of funny, actually. It's kind of funny that Matthew Tkachuk got traded and Kyrie Irving didn't get traded, actually. Funny enough, bringing up Kyrie Irving. Or Kevin Durant. We're still doing this, and those two guys are still available in their sports. Now some Kadri is this recording is still...
Kadri's staying in Colorado, man.
Yeah, I think he's staying at this
point.
You
waited too freaking long. How long has it been now? Like 2 weeks? Come on, now.
2 weeks?
Like what? Yeah, he's like, staying. Come on!
He's staying.
Who's like, giving him the bag now? Maybe Calgary.
Like, Darren Ferris has a lot of players who are making a lot of money. So, you know, obviously he's doing something right. But this is a prime example of how his whole I'm going to make it a world tour thing doesn't always work. Like, he's staying in college. Who else is going to sign him? Who else? Like, no one else has the cap space to. At least no one else of...
Neither does Colorado.
Yeah.
That's also fair. That's also... I mean,
like, listen, if this was before the Nichushkin and Josh Manson contracts, that would have been one thing, but they had a lot of money tied up in those two players.
Ooh, ouch.
Man, they didn't really sign Choo-Choo Train to like 8 years.
I was literally like, what? Ooh. Like,
ooh, actually,
not questioning them, but those are the first contracts they've signed in a long time that are like giving me some anxiety.
Yeah, the Avs now have 44 cents to their name.
Yeah, who are they going to move out? If they keep Kadri, like, who are they going to move out to make that work?
Man, I take
we
that
don't
back.
Have to
Never
deliberate
mind.
Over that.
No, I take that back, man, because, man, Nathan MacKinnon, only one more. Man, yeah, I take that back. Never mind.
That's Never a mind. Bad man. That
I
has
mean,
to get
I don't
paid.
Think they're going
to
re-sign Aaron Johnson.
Nope. That's fair. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Six, oh, six. Right there. Okay, yeah. He's fine. Mm-hmm. Never mind. They're fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure they'll find a way to get out of that. I'll just say this one other thing about Matthew Tkachuk, too. I'm still very surprised that Florida ended up being the team. I was very convinced that St. Louis was going to be the team. And I think he even admitted as much when he spoke to Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic that he did envision himself there. And then when you learn that St. Louis reportedly their trade offer for him started with like Vladimir Tarasenko and Marco Scandella, like it started with those two pieces. Like what?
Former Montreal Canadian Marco Scandella?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a dial tone. That's a dial tone. It's like,
what does it being a former Montreal Canadiens player have to do with anything?
We're going
to
offer you Vladimir Tarasenko. Yeah. And Marco. Uh-huh. Scan. Like, no. Like, are you kidding me? No way. No way.
So Jordan and Kyrou, those two words were not mentioned in the negotiations?
I mean, wow. I guess they're on, man. I guess they probably didn't want to move him. But, geez, like, if you're moving, come on. Come All on. Right.
Yeah, I don't know how you go through that.
That's a GM who wasn't ready to, who either wasn't ready to play ball or thought that they could lowball them and see what could happen. But yeah,
I guess that has to be it, right? Because you know, because if he signs the Q, I mean, if he goes through arbitration and gets like that 1 year or whatever, you just say, okay, we'll just get you next year. That has to be what they were thinking, right?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they didn't think that any other team would be willing to actually like pay a significant price. That's actually kind of funny. I wonder how they felt that. I wonder how they felt seeing it. Like, oh, damn. Jeez.
8 years, Oops. 9.5.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing before we move on to the other topic. JT Miller is out there. Our good friend Thomas Drance wrote a whole piece in The Athletic earlier today about how all these different things have happened. How do they affect the Canucks? How does this affect JT Miller? Why is he still a Canuck? Why is this still going on? Like, I don't get it. Sam, I don't get it.
I'm supposed to be able to explain Vancouver Canucks.
It's a Canuck. But it is a very good point, right? Like I don't know. I have this, like, Sam, like, how, at a scale of 1 to 10, like, how sure were you that he was gone at the deadline?
I wasn't sure he was going to be gone this deadline. I think he'll definitely be gone by next trade deadline, but it's super risky, right? Like, there's no guarantee he has another season like he's had for the last year.
Yeah. I mean, like, wouldn't you try to trade, man? Like, I'd probably try to trade him now. Like, I'd see the return for, like, for what Kachuk got, and I'd be like, okay,
yeah. That was the first thing I tweeted, trade JT Miller.
Yeah, like,
I saw that Kachuk trade, I was like, trade JT Miller. Although, to be fair, like, he's closer in age to Huberto, right? Like, he's not.
Yeah,
that's fair.
He's much closer in age to Huberto. His next contract is going to be massive, and his last one. And, like, whoever signs that is going to have to take on the risk of him in his mid to late 30s.
Are we already seeing, like, teams just being very gun shy about those players? Because, I mean, Nazem Kadri, we were talking about him earlier, like, no one's really bringing out the bag for him. Jonathan Huberto.
There's a significant chunk of the Canucks fan base that's like, you can't trade JT Miller, he's our best player, you have to re-sign him. And I'm like,
wow.
Has the faith in Pedersen
really dropped that far, man?
I don't think so. I just think there's a segment of the fan base that loves the way JT Miller plays, and those are the people who don't love the way Pedersen plays. Probably didn't love the way the Sedin's played.
I wonder what the connections are, Sam.
That sounds familiar.
People with no taste.
I mean, there is value to JT Miller, but if you believe that Pedersen isn't better than him, or Sedin's weren't as good, well, you know, that's a you problem.
And I'm not saying he's had a fantastic two seasons, but you should have traded him at the peak.
Yeah.
At the absolute peak. Like, that's what should have happened. But I think, as usual, they try to straddle the line between being competitive, and when he's one of your only players who's producing, it's pretty hard to trade him. They've yet to commit to a full rebuild.
Yeah. And I guess thinking about it now with what the moves were in the offseason, like, you got to think the plan is to try to make it. Yeah. The Pacific Division's weird, man. I'd believe it if they made it,
but it doesn't mean they're good, like we've said before.
That Pacific is going to be weird because, like, Calgary's in the spot that they're in right now. Vancouver's in a bit of a weird spot. And you know who could come all the way back and make the playoffs? The Vegas Golden Knights, who went through the shitstorm they went through this past year. But hey, maybe something works. I have no idea. Maybe Jack Eichel finally touches the playoffs for the first time in his life.
Or they trade him again.
Oh, they trade him again. Could you imagine that? How wild that would be after all that. We sat through that whole thing last year with the neck surgery and everything. Vegas is just like, nah, man, we don't use your salary. Here's a one-way ticket to, I don't know.
I had a lot of people come for me for a tweet I had where it was just like, where I think, like, the Vegas Golden Knights were one of the teams interested in Kachuk. And I was like, oh, you know, it'll be sad to see Jack Eichel go in the trade. And then people were like, oh, but, like, he just got there. I'm like, what's your point? They're like, haha, that's so funny. I'm like, have you not been paying attention to your team? Like, they trade for someone. They're there for, like, a year or two, and then they trade them for nothing, literally or virtually. Who did they get for Marc-Andre Fleury? No disrespect to whoever it is. I have no idea. I could not tell you. And the man won the Vezina. He won the Vezina, and I have no idea who he was traded for.
Marc-Andre Fleury, man. He overcame a lot, man, just with how his career – I mean, just the fact that he had that sword, like, lodged into him, and he still found a way to perform really well. Like,
right?
Like, come on, man.
You know, he could have bled out, you know.
Absolutely career-ending. Alan Walsh, please don't come for me. Please don't. All right. That's as much as we can go on with regards to the Calgary Flames. Look, if you're a Flames fan, I feel for you right now. Things are really weird. But hey, maybe things will be brighter in the Pacific Division next year, or the rebuild will begin.
I don't feel bad for them.
Oh.
Who are doing Wheeler is like a good return.
It is.
I mean,
but it's not Gaudreau and Tkachuk, and they were great players.
I feel bad about Gaudreau, but like I don't think it's clear cut that losing Tkachuk for Huberto and Uyghur was a downgrade. Yeah.
I still like. I know a lot of people are saying that the trade is like kind of like iffy for Calgary because like what if they don't re-sign? But I'm like,
right.
I saw the details at first and I was like, man, I think Calgary won that one. I don't know. Like, again, we still have to see hockey being played, but like from looking at it, I was like, they got Huberto and Uyghur and a first and a decent prospect who might play next year. Like, that's a lot, man. Like,
it's a blockbuster trade.
It is, yeah. Like, it could be a scenario where both teams end up walking away, like, okay.
I thought they won that trade even without seeing that there was a first and the prospect.
Yeah, yeah. And if it was just those two.
Just those two pieces.
Yeah.
And there's nothing preventing Brad Tree Living from doing the exact same thing he did with Tkachuk for Huberto. Like,
that's true.
He wants to make that trade with Montreal before the trade deadline. That's completely open to him.
Sam out here mentioning Montreal, getting Montreal Canadiens fans excited? That's purposeful. That's very purposeful.
I mean, it's true. Yeah. If they have a weird year, if Markstrom, continues to
fall
again.
And then, hey, if you're at the deadline and say, okay, I have Uyghur, I have Huberto, get a whole bunch of picks, prospects. You're at the bottom half of the league. You get Connor Bedard. Man, Gaudreau.
Bedard of the sea,
man. Man, Gaudreau, who? Holy.
Because they got Mackenzie Uyghur and they're paying him less than Eric Gudbranson is making on his new contract.
That's awesome. Oh!
So, I feel like that's an upgrade for them.
That Gudbranson is. Like a Brown Columbus hurts my soul in Columbus. Like, what are you doing, Columbus? Like, why?
Yo.
Why? What's the
shout out to them having the best contract signing of the free agency market by getting the 110? And then the worst.
Yo, man. Columbus was like Columbus was on a high.
Yeah. I bet like Jarmo Kekalainen was like celebrating because they're like, okay, no one will roast us for the Eric Gudbranson deal anymore. No. Like, how he's at about 4x4.
That's what
I'm not saying he shouldn't get his money, but a 4x4. Man, look, I'm not a GM. I can't really comment on these GMs like that, but you know what? Fine. We'll just talk about them from our purchase here on Zone Time. And now we have to make a very, very, very tough transition from all of the, the off-season stuff with the Calgary Flames to another story that has been kind of percolating in the background over the last little while. I know we talked about playoffs and everything going on there. And now we're at a point where we cannot ignore the Hockey Canada story anymore because it has evolved to a point well beyond that I thought it was going to be at. Essentially, just to kind of give the Coles notes here, the Federation's dealing with two scandals involving two of their previous World Junior teams. One in 2018, after an incident. I should actually mention a trigger warning here. We are going to be discussing events that involve sexual assault. And yeah, in 2018, I'll make sure I'm composed for this, but a lawsuit was filed earlier this year alleging that a sexual assault incident took place involving members of the 2018 World Junior team after an event in London. And in the last few days, we've heard that Halifax police is reopening an investigation surrounding a potential sexual assault that happened during the 2003 World Junior Championship. And we've seen all these statements from players from both teams saying that they weren't involved or weren't engaging in wrongdoing. Over the next few days, we'll see Hockey Canada go through some parliamentary hearings as well. We've heard about the supposed slush fund that was out there being paid out for sexual assault claims. The Globe and Mail has been on that. We know The Athletic has been on that. Rick Westhead with TSN has been on that. It's a lot to process. We're going to try to talk about this as best as we can. And like, look, it's not a surprise. We all think it's abhorrent and disgusting what's being put out there. But I think there are just so many like frustrating details about this. And Sam, we should shout out Sam because her and George on the Broadcast podcast in the last episode, they did a great job just discussing it and a few other different topics. I would love to know from you, Sam, of all the details that have surrounded Hockey Canada over the last how many days and weeks and months, is there something that stands out to you that's like more frustrating than anything else, or maybe not even a detail, but just anything about how this all has unfolded. That's just really frustrating.
Yeah, I think, I mean, all of it is pretty frustrating. I thought, for starters, the manner in which Scott Smith and Tom Rennie showed up at the first parliamentary hearing, where they were woefully underprepared, I thought that was embarrassing. That they weren't able to answer questions put to them by members of parliament was embarrassing. And frankly, I think they shot themselves in the foot. Like, the reason they have to go back for 2 days now with way more witnesses is because of how badly they performed in the first one. I think it was clear to me that they did not take it seriously and that they thought this was going to go away. I think the two other things that have stood out to me is Hockey Canada releasing that statement a couple of days ago, where they said it's come to our attention that they heard a rumor that, quote unquote, something bad happened at the 2003 World Juniors. They said they had heard about it a few weeks ago, which, you know, no one ever heard about. And then they said they hired an independent investigator who wasn't able to find anything, but somehow they were able to put out this statement to say, oh, well, Rick West had called us yesterday and he had found out all of this stuff. So you're telling me you hired an independent investigator who in 2 weeks could find absolutely nothing, but Rick West had spoke to multiple witnesses and had a full story. Like, that smells. Either your independent investigator is completely useless or you didn't take this very seriously again. And the last thing that's really frustrated me is, I think, and I appreciate that some sponsors have said they're redirecting their funding, but the cutting of funding to Hockey Canada as a result of the men's program actions is negatively impacting the women's program through no fault of their own. And to me, that discussion has been lacking as well.
Yeah, that's very well said. And we've noticed, at least in the hours before we started recording today, some members of the women's program put out a statement calling out Hockey Canada. Avery and Omar, are there other details about this that have also been boiling in your mind? I can let Avery start first.
I would just say that, you know, what's going on here? I'm so frustrated that there have been no resignations yet, that there have been no firings yet. Hockey Canada cannot exist as is. It still cannot. People need to be terminated. We need to see new leadership come in to change anything. I don't trust the same group who say they're going to fix this, you know, we're going to address this, addressing anything. They haven't done anything in the past 10, 15, 20 years. And now you want us to trust you in correcting this and fixing the wrongs? I'm sorry. I don't trust any of you to correct it. And Bob Nicholson, who was the president when all this is going on, why hasn't he spoken yet? Why has he not come out yet to discuss this? He should not be allowed to be silent on these matters. I don't care if he was president now. He was Hockey Canada's boss when all this went down. He should be speaking on this today or tomorrow.
Okay. What about you, Omar?
Yeah, I mean, I think Avery said it best. The thing that comes up, and I think about all, and every time there's new information, or if I'm thinking about the things that have come up, it's the trust element, where we're expected to trust the people who were part of, enhanced, and allowed the problem to continue. We're supposed to trust that they're going to be the ones to fix it. They release this, hey, this is our action plan. I'm going through the action plan, and I'm like, so you're saying that these things weren't in place now? And now we're supposed to believe that there's going to be harsher penalties about this. I think about when the tweet came out of the article that said that registration fees were used as aspects of this fund.
Right.
Seeing parents saying like, so this is what the fees were that I was using for, were going towards. I think about the conversation all the time about like how, you know, getting into hockey like at a high level is so expensive in Canada, and there are so many kids and families who aren't able to pay the fees to do it, and then learning that the fees that parents are using to put their kids in these programs is used to covering up this filth. It's so sad because I remember back like 10 years ago the huge question, or the huge topic when it comes to Hockey Canada, is like, oh, is goaltending a problem? Do you remember that? That was a debate. Like, oh, is Hockey Canada developing enough goaltenders? Go on Google and type in Hockey Canada, and what do you see? This all this freaking garbage, and then more and more things are going to come out, and I think that's why it's so good that we have journalists who are actually trying to get some justice and actually change things for the better, and like as much as it's good for survivors and for those who went through this to I guess be part of change, it's also like shocking and horrifying that there's probably so much we don't know. So much we don't know. The 2018 thing hasn't been rectified yet. The 2003 thing just came out. Like, what else is out there? And then to Avery's point, how can we trust you to be in place to deal with it? So I don't know how they try to walk away with this with the exact same people and say, you know what, we're fine, we're good, we have this plan, we have this action plan. Like, it's not going to be enough, and it's completely bogus. And I hope a lot of people see it for what it is, that it is bogus.
Yeah, on the subject of trust, my biggest thing that kind of bothers me is just seeing the statements from players. And I understand they have their lawyers up and they can go through whatever they go through with the investigations. But just seeing players on either team say that they didn't know what happened, I don't know. I mean, that's their word. If that's what actually happened, I guess that's the case. But I just feel as if, like, for stuff like this, I mean, I just keep thinking of the excerpt from Jordan Tutu's book where he says that, you know, the junior team that he was on got plenty of attention and a lot of sexual activity happened. That doesn't mean that the assault happened, or that he's saying that was in the book. But like, I just have a hard time thinking that a lot of the guys could just say, you know what, I didn't know this happened. Consider what we know about hockey, consider how we know about teams coming together. And just, I just have a hard time kind of extending that trust out to those players. But I can also understand that they are, you know, they have a right to due process and things can be proven the way that they are. But in terms of but I think I have a right to feel that whatever trust I have in those players for being good people is shattered. I think that's fair.
And that's... I think you're right about that, in that, yes, they're entitled to due process. I'm by no means saying that.
Absolutely. No. Yeah.
But I think when the statements you're putting out say, I had absolutely no knowledge of anything related to this incident, I only found out through this.
Yeah. That bugs me.
It's hard for people to accept that explanation, because what we get the rest of the time from players is, you guys as fans don't know how tight we are. You don't know what we're like in the locker room. We are a band of brothers. We go through the trenches together. We are in war together. And now you're telling me that, you know, you spent 2 weeks together in the same hotel rooms, and after years of telling us that you guys are super tight, you're like, I don't know a single thing about what these people do when they're not on the ice.
Make it make sense. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that way better than I could, because that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, the math isn't mathing. It seems impossible. Like, it's really hard to believe that. It really is.
I don't know. And yeah, look, I feel like with everything going on and more details coming out here, I don't know how Hockey Canada gets out scot-free from this. I don't know how it gets to a point where, and I understand that Tom Rennie is on his way out. I can't see Scott Smith staying. I can't see so many other execs who are there staying. It wouldn't surprise me if they end up disbanding Hockey Canada. I understand maybe it's a little weird to kind of speculate on what the punishment could be, but if after all of this, you know, after all the hearings, after all of these stories, after all of this, if it turns out that, you know, what happened actually happened, and Hockey Canada is just allowed to stand and some of the same figures are still there, what was this for? Right?
Yeah.
Surely there's going to be just punishment coming if it's needed. But like, it needs to be like hard justice here.
Yeah. And I think growing up as a hockey fan in Canada, like we know the scripts, all the huge dramatic commercials and trailers that they would play before World Juniors and stuff. When they're putting these teams together, they say the same thing. You know what? We want to get good people who are on the ice, off the ice, character, all of this stuff. And then when there are opportunities to prove that that actually matters, we get nothing. And yeah, I get the legal system. I get the process. I get it. But yeah, like, how? I don't know how they stay. I don't know how they try to even avenue a universe where they try to like walk by and think that everything is okay. And if that does happen, then I'll be thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah, and
so many things, because for the longest time, anytime we brought up the idea that hockey has a cultural problem, we'd always hear, no, of course not. No, no. We do this and we do that and we do this and we do that. Well, we've learned a lot in the last year that says otherwise. And put up or shut up at this point.
Sam? Yeah.
I was just going to say, to Omar's point about like the things we thought about these teams, kind of the 03-04 teams were kind of when I really got into the World Juniors. And I remember complaining in the last few years that the TSN specials in between intermissions and like pregame were not as good in terms of production quality and storytelling as the ones that we got back in 03 and 04. Like I remember, I'm sure I have them recorded somewhere, like on VHS tapes, like the stories you got about like footage of these players in their backyard rinks growing up. And like, we were sold stories with high production value of what great young men these players were and how upstanding they were. Like I can remember Pierre Maguire and others on the World Junior panel talking about Mike Richards as a leader, being the captain, same with Scotty Upshaw. And I remember these specific specials. There was one year where I think they were in Finland or Sweden, and one of the things they did was they gave the players a video camera to go behind the scenes and film what they were doing in the hotel. Like that was the year with Dion Phaneuf and all those guys. Like
so maybe just 2005.
They
had tons of programming dedicated to like selling us this image. And I think that's part of the massive issue here, is part of the betrayal of trust is we were sold something about how great these people were. And it's a tournament that everyone loves so much. And so it feels extra dirty now.
Yeah.
I mean, already the fact that it's going to be in August this year feels weird enough. But after everything going on, I mean, if it wasn't for work, I mean, even then, I don't really have the appetite to watch the World Juniors. And I understand those players might have nothing to do with those with the alleged incidents or the lawsuits coming out. But like, I get why people would feel, you know what, they don't want to watch the World Juniors or just take a break from hockey for the rest of the summer. I don't have the appetite for it. I don't. Yeah, go ahead, Avery. Sorry.
You mentioned punishment. You know, the IIHF has to, whenever they can, step into a point, because the IIHF has suspended countries before or programs before. The IIHF, when this is all said and done, when they're able to, should declare that Canada's men's programs, the men's programs only, are suspended indefinitely until this is cleaned up. They should.
Wow. That, if they do that, that would be a very big statement. But you know what? I'm not going to be here to say no to that. The last thing I'll just say about this, I think I'm thinking a lot of what Rick West had said on the Steve Dangle podcast with regards to these cases kind of coming out, because this is obviously not the first time in issue when it comes to hockey where we've heard stories of players, unfortunately, going through abuse. And Rick West had made the point that, you know, in the 90s or in the 80s, when these stories were being discussed, that when media would write about these cases, that everyone would say, hey, we have to find a way for these things to not happen anymore. And unfortunately, we are still at that point where we are still learning about these things. And at this point, these things are still going to happen. I forget who mentioned it, but it's just going to get worse. We're going to know more about these stories. More and more people are going to, and they should, feel empowered to come forward with these stories. And unfortunately, I think we're going to hear more of these stories again, unfortunately. It's all about how we handle them as media people. It's all about how the people in charge, like a Hockey Canada, how they handle those situations and how they apply justice when needed, and what they do for the victims as well. I'll try to be optimistic with how I end this part here, but my hope is that as we go through more darkness with the potential of more and more of these stories coming to light, my hope is that because we're knowing about more of these things, that the people in charge will know what to do to handle these situations a lot better and to ensure that they educate young men going forward on how to ensure they don't do any of that stuff. And that's as best as you could hope for the future, I think. That's as best as you could really put it. Because again, like, this is the second year in a row we're doing a podcast to end the year, and we are talking about the story of sexual assault and how the culture of hockey is broken and is bullshit. It really is, you know. And people say all the time, hey, you know what, it's good to see people, you know, committing to a positive change to that. But seeing stories like Hockey Canada, that breaks a lot of people, I think. That breaks a lot of fans from trying to be positive arbiters of change in hockey culture. I can totally understand if people who listen to the show or watch the show, or even amongst all four of us, if, you know, you feel shaken in a way because of everything that has transpired over the last few months. But the hope is that with more and more of these stories, again, with more darkness coming, people will know that they don't want this to happen again, and they will at least find ways to handle it better, whether it's from a media coverage standpoint or just handling a victim of these situations and ensuring that future generations don't repeat those same mistakes. It's a bit of a somber way to end the Zone Time podcast and end season two, but, you know, I think with just listening to this podcast, you go back to it, I think it's a perfect duality of Zone Time. We are able to be silly and all over the wall, but I think for topics like this, we find ways to do it right, I think. And I'm really glad that we were able to have an episode on Hockey Canada and talk about it. Omar, as always, Sam, as always, Avery, always great when you're able to tap in. Special thanks to Justin Cuthbert, Rahef, Arun, for tapping in this season as well. Second season of Zone Time. It's kind of wild to say there's been two seasons of this show already, considering it started at the beginning of last year. But this is where we're at with Zone Time. And I would like to think we'll be back better than ever for season three at the start of next season. I hope so. I would like to think so. I think so. I think we'll be fine. I think so. If you're bored, you could always check old episodes of In the Mentions with Omar. They're always great. They're always fun. You must be on break by now.
Yeah. We shot our last episode last week. So, you know, I guess unless something huge happens, like, oh, Austin Matthews is going to go to the States.
Patrick Kane to the Leafs or something.
Okay.
Omar's going to walk off.
Yeah. Omar's going to walk off now.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point, hey, man, maybe Kyle Dubas is one big deal away from swinging. Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, check out In the Mentions. Check out the broadcast with Sam. Always check out stuff from Avery because he's out here doing it. We'll let you go to your day party. We know we've kept you waiting from doing the recording. And also, thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to Zone Time throughout this year. We'll be back next season. And subscribe to the YouTube page. Subscribe to this podcast feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll be back when we'll be back. So thanks so much again, guys. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.